For those of you that are joining us for the first time, we've been going through the book of Mark. And I hope you're enjoying it as much as I'm enjoying it. It has been incredible. Today, we're going to go through Mark chapter 4, verse 1 to 34. And we're going to be talking about the teaching of Jesus. Amen? So let's go ahead and go through it. I will quote it for you. You're welcome to read along, and then we will break it down. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he scattered the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. Because there was such shallow soil, it sprang up quickly. But when the sun came up, it scorched the plants, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear."
Come on, bro.
When he was alone, the 12 and all the others around him asked him about the parables. Jesus told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Oh, I'm blanking. Where are we? Then Jesus said to them, first time in 4 weeks, you got to give me props on that one. Okay. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, they hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But because they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution come because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown." He then said, "Do you bring out a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. He then said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel inside the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, for the harvest is come. Again he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. But when planted, it grows up and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can come and perch in its shade. With many other parables, Jesus taught them the word, as much as they were able to understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. Okay, amen. Good job. I think I missed more that week than ever before, but amen. You know, it's really been awesome, though, committing these scriptures to memory. Because now let's say I'm out during the day, and I don't have my Bible with me, I don't have my notes with me, but I got a few minutes. Maybe I'm early to pick up my son from school. Maybe I'm, just got a few minutes to kill. I can start going over this scripture in my mind. And it's been amazing the points that will come out that I haven't thought of before, just from having that time to meditate. Which is what the scriptures say, that we need to meditate on the word day and night. Amen? Okay. What are we talking about here? We're talking today about the teaching of Jesus.
Come on, bro.
You might ask yourself, how well do I understand the teaching of Jesus? Especially to those that have committed their lives to the teaching of Jesus. What was Jesus teaching all about? The kingdom of God. That's what he came out in chapter 1. When he came back from the temptation in the desert, he began to proclaim, the kingdom is near. And you know a kingdom's near when the king comes. Amen? How did he teach about the kingdom? Parables. Now this is very, very interesting. A parable is a story from everyday life that is used to illustrate or communicate a spiritual or moral truth. Okay? And most of the time, parables were meant to have one major point. Well, they weren't meant to be true on every level. Right? Which is going to be important as we talk later. Now, why did Jesus use parables to teach people about the kingdom? Because he wanted them to understand, right? Isn't that right? So, parables were meant to clarify, not to confuse. Right? Well then, what's all this about a secret? When he tells his disciples, oh yeah, the secret of the kingdom of God is given to you. But to those on the outside, we're just speaking in parables. So that they might see but not perceive, and they might hear but not understand. And this way they won't turn and be forgiven. Does that make sense? Does Jesus want them to perceive? Does Jesus want them to understand? Does Jesus want them to turn and be forgiven? So, Why speak in such a way that isn't just super duper clear?
Come on, bro.
That's what we need to talk about today. First of all, let's talk about the secret thing. For the secret of the kingdom has been given to you. Now, that doesn't mean Jesus wants to keep the kingdom a secret. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been out going through Galilee proclaiming the kingdom. Right? He's not trying to keep it a secret. What he's saying is, guys, the secret's been given to you. You know, this was planned for so long. It was prophesied by the Old Testament prophets. But now the time had come. Right now, we're getting ready for next Sunday's financial presentation. We're getting ready to reveal to you the plans we have for 2009. We got some juicy secrets. Oh, yeah. In fact, I can't wait to tell them. I'm like bursting. I almost blew it a couple times, but I haven't. But no, the time has not come to tell you now. That's next Sunday. Right, so the secret's going to be given to you if you're here next Sunday. Amen? That's awesome. That's what it is. The secrets of the kingdom have been revealed. Why does he quote Isaiah? And by the way, that's where this passage comes from. That they may be ever seeing but never perceiving. Ever hearing but never understanding. Remember in Mark chapter 1, Mark quoted Isaiah.
Right.
Here, Mark is not quoting Isaiah. Mark is quoting Jesus, who's quoting Isaiah. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Why is Jesus quoting Isaiah? He's saying, my preaching in parables is like the ministry of Isaiah. Are you guys familiar with Isaiah's ministry? I think of the scripture. All day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people.
Right.
Isaiah's teaching did draw some disciples. You can read Isaiah chapter 8. But it was also meant to expose the hard-hearted resistance of many people to God's warning and God's appeal. The prophet Isaiah came. Jesus came to proclaim the truth of God. To share, repent, for the kingdom is near. Some wanted to hear that message, but others didn't want to hear that message. Some liked the good stuff, but didn't want the commitment involved that Jesus was calling for. And so, the parables were meant for the people who had ears to hear. They're going to hear. But it's up to you to knock so the door will be opened. And to seek so you shall find. To those that want a loophole, to those that don't want to hear, Jesus left enough room for you to find it. So your heart would be exposed. I think this is very important for the members of the church here. We want so badly for everyone to become disciples of Jesus. And to get to live a life free from so much of the junk in our world. And to get to go to heaven. But we can't make people. Any more than Jesus could make people. In fact, Jesus said, don't throw your pearls before the pigs. Some people don't want to hear. Don't sit in front of them trying to shove it down their throat. They don't want to hear. And we're going to talk more about that today. Look at Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, and we're going to go verse 10 and 11. You ready? As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire to achieve and the purpose for which I sent it. Is that awesome? So you say, oh, well, those people would have made it, but God's word couldn't achieve what it needed to. No, it's not about God's word not achieving what it needs to. It will achieve. Those that are open and want to love God, it will draw you near to God. But those of you that don't really want to love God, it'll expose the fact that you don't really want to love God. And we need to get honest about the fact that there are those different types of people. Again, Jesus said, and I say to you today, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. That's not just he, but that's she. Amen. Guys and gals, even at the end, notice the words where we finished. He taught them many similar parables. He taught them the word. And look what it said. As much as they were able to understand. You guys with me? As much as you're able to understand? No, really. That's what he meant. No insult intended. Jesus shared these parables. Why? To illustrate truth. Moral truth. Spiritual truth. And he did it to stimulate your thinking. And to get people to start having a spiritual perspective. Most people in general in Jesus' day were not ready for the full truth of the gospel. They weren't ready to hear it all. Just like there may be people here today, you're not ready to hear the full message. You need to get what you're ready to get. That's why Jesus spoke in parables. But to those whose interest was sparked, to those that wanted to know, to those that would follow and become his follower, his learner, his disciple, in private, he'd teach you everything. You see what I'm saying? Why was he teaching only the 12 everything? He wasn't. He was teaching the disciples everything. That's why the 12 and those others around him asked him and he told them. For those that were had enough and they wanted to go home, you weren't going to get to know more. You see what we're talking about? We're talking about the teaching of Jesus. It's the same today. It's the same today. In this sermon today, there's no way I could tell one of you everything you need to hear. Much less 100 of you. You with me?
Yeah.
And so, but hopefully, I'm going to get you to think more spiritually than you did before you came in. That's my job. You say, well, I'm a super spiritual thinker already. Well, then hopefully I'll get you to hold course before you leave. I won't cause you to be worldly while you're here. Right? But I want to get you to think spiritually. I want to get you to meditate on these things. I want to get you to start thinking, how does God want this world to be? How does God want me to be? My family to be? And God's Word is able to achieve that. But we've got to want it. Amen? Jesus wants everybody to know. But not everybody wants to know. Yeah, no? Okay. Now we're going to look at these four parables and hopefully get some more clarity on what we're talking about. Parable number one, the parable of the sower. Okay? Now, very interesting. When he got alone with his disciples, what did Jesus say? Don't you guys get this one? I mean, you should get this one. Right? What was he saying? This one's pretty clear, guys. So, don't be too insulted if you're the general public, because even with his own disciples, he had to pretty much explain the simple ones. Right, amen, guys? Amen, I'm a disciple, amen. He said, listen, the farmer sows the word. It's not about seed. It's about the word. It's about the word of God being proclaimed. So, as the farmer sows it, it falls on these different soils. The parable of the sower is all about the fact that if you're going to sow some seed, you need to use soil that is proper if you really want the seed to grow and you really want the harvest to come. I don't know if any of you have a farming background, but you're not going to go out with your seed and start sowing it along the path. Right? The path is really hard. It's been walked on a lot. Maybe you feel that way. Walked on a lot. And maybe that's made you really hard. And so when the seed that was really sown, hopefully on good soil, a couple of them bounced over on the hard path, what happened? It just sat there. Because the path's too hard to penetrate.
Right.
So it's just sitting there. Easy pickings for... the bird! Come right... Boom! But if you were softer and it went down in the soil, it's harder for the bird to get. Right?
Yeah, come on.
That's how some people are. Okay? And you know, we need to get this.
Yeah, come on.
As much as I'd like everybody here to be good soil, including myself... Some of us sitting here could be like the path. So that the word that's being proclaimed is not going to get inside of you. So it's real easy for Satan to steal it from you immediately. How can he do that? A lot of ways. I think the way you can keep him from doing it is when you hear the word of God, you need to receive it as of first importance in your life. If you hold other things more important, that'll take your attention. And the word will not penetrate your heart. Interesting, Matthew 13:19, in its version of the parable of the sower, actually says the path are those that hear the message of the kingdom and do not understand it. Satan steals it. So we teach a study in our church here called the Kingdom of God. And I want to put before you that if you can't explain and articulate what the kingdom of God is all about, you might be the path. You need to not just know the message of the kingdom, but be able to share it. And I know when I studied these scriptures, I'd gone to church my whole life. I couldn't begin to tell you what was the kingdom of God on earth, if it was on earth. When did it come? How do you get in? I couldn't tell you those things. Can you? If not, get with someone who brought you and study the kingdom out. But when we hear that message, if we don't embrace it, it's going to be gone. The rocky soil. Okay? This one's intense. Rocky soil, there's a shallow base of soil and then a lot of rocks. So the water gets caught. So it's really good for the seed to grow quickly. Right? But there's no root. So who are we talking about? We're talking about people that come quickly. They hear the word. And they sprout up quickly. But then just as quickly, they're gone. We've seen that in our church, haven't we, guys? You've seen people come in on fire and then run out as if there were a fire in the building. I'm serious. And it breaks our heart to see that. You go, well, we made some mistake with them. We should have took more time. No, that's not what Jesus is saying.
Right.
Maybe we did, and if we did, let's learn how to better give people what they're ready for. As any teacher has to figure out, no matter what you're teaching, math or the gospel of Jesus Christ, you got to figure out what's my student capable of taking. That's what makes a good teacher, right, guys?
Right.
Jesus says there will be people that come in on fire, and that leave quickly. Why do they leave? This is important. When trouble comes, oh boy, as long as it's all good, it's all good. And I'm here. And I'm joyful. But as soon as trouble comes, as soon as persecution comes, I'm gone. Why does trouble come? Jesus says it comes because of the very word. Why does persecution come? Because we're doing things wrong? Not necessarily. Jesus says persecution comes just because you're living by His plan. Because our world doesn't want to live. Remember what we said earlier? A lot of people don't want to live by His plan. But you decide, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to be pure. I'm not sleeping around before I get married. Not anymore. When I get married, I'm not sleeping with any woman but my wife the rest of my life. And I'm not living by our religious world's idea of look but don't touch either.
Come on, bro. Lay it out, bro.
Other people that want to live that way say, oh, you're being, what's the word, fanatical. You're a fanatic. Man, come on, every guy's normal to look. You're a fanatic. What are you, in a cult? And all of a sudden you're persecuted. But you're doing nothing wrong. You're living by the Word. But if you don't get deeper roots, that trouble and that persecution will take you straight out. So I'm begging you, dig deeper. Get in the Scriptures. Get deeper relationships. And get better roots. You know, we have a saying in the church, everybody needs about 6 good relationships to stay faithful. Now, is that in the Bible? No. Why is it 6? Why is it not 5? Let's not argue about this. The point is that good spiritual relationships are like landmines for Satan. Satan's going to try to take you out. And if you only got one good spiritual friend, if he gets you in a fight with them and severs that relationship, you gone. But if you got 5 or 6, that makes it harder for Satan to get in and take you out. But I'm not talking about 5 or 6 football buddies. I'm not talking about 5 or 6 motorcycling buddies. But that they don't know you're about to have a divorce at home. You tell me you got 6 good friends, I hope they know your life. That's the way Satan won't get in there and take you out. The thorns. Oh, baby. Now I'm talking to those of you sitting here. And myself. See, the path never makes it in the kingdom. Well, they might visit church, but they don't make it in the church. You know what I mean by that, right?
Yeah. Power, bro.
And so, some of you, if you're brand new and on fire, you may be afraid you're rocky. Don't be rocky. Soil. But those of you that have been around a while and have made it past the quickly falling away, what's left? Thorny or good, that's all that's left. Now, the thorny soil. Who are they? They hear the Word. But the worries of life.
Come on, bro. Lay it out.
What are you worried about? There are a lot of worries you could worry about. Especially in these times, right? It chokes. It doesn't choke you. It chokes the Word in you. See, the Word's trying to produce fruit in you. But if you worry about a lot of things, that'll be more on your heart than the Word. And the Word will get choked out because of your worries.
Wow. Come on.
Secondly, it talks about the deceitfulness of wealth. Is the Word choked out in you because of the deceitfulness of wealth? See, what is that? Well, it could be a couple things. It could be, oh man, I'm worrying. Oh, okay, I just need to make more money. That'll fix everything. Or maybe that's not it. Maybe you have enough money. And so you don't need God. Because prosperity tends to give a false sense of self-sufficiency and security and well-being. I don't need to worry about where the money's coming from. So I don't need the Word of God desperately in my life. That's what deceives us. And finally, pretty easy to break this one down, the desire for other things. You know what this is all about? I got preteens in here, right? Some preteen girls and maybe some guys that won't be honest. You like Hannah Montana? Oh, I see some kids shaking. No, but I wonder if at home you got it on. It's kind of like back in my day, we used to say, oh man, I hate Wham. Wham. George, my Wham. But at home you shut the door. All right, see y'all. Wake me up before you go-go. You a closet Wham fan. Some of you are now closet Backstreet Boys fans. Victor. Oh, he's running the sound. He might turn it off again. But some of you middle schoolers, and maybe older, you closet Hannah Montana fans. And you know why? Because you want the best of both worlds. You want everything that the kingdom has to offer. Don't you? Those of you in the kingdom, don't you want the best the kingdom has to offer? And sometimes you gripe if you don't get the best. But you also want the best of the world. See, none of us want the worst of anything. There's a lot of things in the world we go, oh, that's disgusting, we don't want that. But let's be honest. We know what we think's awesome in the world. In our flesh. You want the best of both worlds, you're going to be the thorny soil. The Word will not produce a great crop in you. You can sit in church week after week, but the Word is choked. Because we want to eat our cake and have it too and still go to heaven. This is to the church mostly. What are we going to do about it? We got to get rid of the thorns. That's what you do. See, the cool thing is, anybody can change. The point of this parable is, not everybody's going to make it. You can't make them. But anybody can change.
Yeah.
But you got to pull the thorns up. You got to get the rocks out. You got to till up that path and cultivate good soil. The good soil is the one that doesn't just hear the Word, but you accept the Word. And then you obey the Word. That will produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times. Now, for you religious people that want to have the old fruit argument. Well, here Jesus is talking about fruit of character. Because the bottom line is what he's talking about is evangelizing the world. He's talking about the way he created the world. He made vegetables and fruit with, he made fruit with seed in it so it could make more of itself. See, the seed inside the grain would fall and be more seed and make more grain. Yeah. Tomatoes make tomatoes. Right? And on and on. And disciples make disciples. Now, I'm not going to argue that we don't need to grow in our character. We do. So, the Word will bear fruit in your character and in you helping other men and women have character and become disciples. But you try to tell me that he's saying this seed is going to have good character. Oh yeah, if it'll produce 30, 60, or 100 times good character in that grain. Right? So don't you bring that religious weirdness up in here. It's not talking character. It's talking about grain making grain.
Come on, there it is.
That's what it's talking about.
Come on, bro.
And we want to produce the crop, don't we?
Yeah.
We want to be good soil. So we got to till up our hard hearts. Get rid of that rock that's keeping us from bearing deeper roots. And we got to pull up the thorns that are choking the Word out so we can yield a harvest. Amen, church.
Yeah.
Now, there's three more parables we're going to shoot through. They're going to help us do that. The first one's the lamp on the stand. Jesus just lays it out. He's like, do any of you bring out a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? Any of you? Any of you have a light at home underneath the bed? Okay, what's this all about? Very simple. Jesus is the light of the world. He's not meant to be put under nothing. Matthew says, you are the light of the world. Disciples are meant to shine. Last night, a lot of us went to a concert up at UIC. The gospel concert that Brittany and Jessica were in. And they were awesome. Were they awesome? And you know, it's so cool to see people in their element. Let me tell you, Jessica was in her element. She was like, yeah! She was shining! Is that us as disciples? Are we shining? Or are we on medium dim? Right? We need an on-off switch. We don't need none of that gradient stuff. Some of us as disciples, we got it on medium to low dim. We're putting Jesus under a bowl. We're putting him under a bed. And you got to figure out, what is making me do that? What is dimming the light of Jesus inside of me? Let me just lay this out. This is awesome. I read this week. It is the destiny of the truth to be made known. It's the destiny of the truth. Look at Romans 1. It's the destiny of the truth to be made known. Are you making the truth known? You've been given the truth by Jesus. He said, I tell you the truth. He came, John 1, full of grace and truth. So do you have the truth on its stand or under a bowl at home? Or under a bed? Here, the disciples were about to begin a proclamation that would become universal. Being the light of the world. And letting that light shine. Are you guys with me?
Yeah.
All right. I don't want you sulking because you're on dim. I want you to turn up the light.
Come on, bro.
Of course, some will and some won't. I can't make you turn it all the way up full so you shine. But that's what God hopes for.
That's right.
The disciples had to listen carefully. Not just for themselves, but for their hearers. For those they would minister to. Let me lay this out. What is it talking about when it says, with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. You guys with me? What's that talking about? It could be talking about a lot of things. I'll tell you what it's talking about. It's talking about the truth. Truth that is not understood and appropriated will be lost. Let me say that again. Truth that you know, that you've been given, if you don't understand it and you don't use it, you're going to lose it.
Wow.
But truth that is used, guys, stay with me. Don't worry about them. I'm sure they got something they got to take care of. Stay with me and stay with God.
Come on, bro.
Truth that you have that you don't use, guess what? It's gone. But if you have truth and you use even what little truth you have, it will multiply.
Come on, bro.
So whatever you have, you better use it and you'll be given more. You know the truth, don't you, church?
Come on.
Yes, you do. I'll say it for you. You know the truth, don't you, church?
Yeah. Amen, brother.
Amen. Okay. Come on, guys. Romans 1. Be with God. Okay, then you'll be what you need to be. Romans 1. Verse 18. Let me show you something about the truth. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. You know what dims your light? It's the best of both worlds. Our wickedness dims our light. When we sin, it dims our light. And when you keep your sin hidden, it dims it more. Get open with those friends you're getting around you. You can have grace and forgiveness and shine again. But unconfessed hidden sin just makes you dull and dim. You with me, guys? Do not put your conviction under a bowl. Do not hide Jesus under a bowl. Do not hide the gospel under a bowl. do not hide the true thunderbolt. Hold it up so it can shine. Don't suppress it. We can't suppress it by our wickedness. Say it with me. We can't suppress it by our wickedness. Say it again. We can't suppress it by our wickedness.
Come on.
Doesn't that feel good?
Come on.
If you're a true disciple, that felt good. If you're holding back, I hope you get it dealt with today. You may not have another week. Let's read on. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without what? We have no excuse, guys. God says, look at the heavens and the mountains and the sky. I did all that. No excuse. You know me. There's no excuse. Verse 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. Exchanged the glory of God, the immortal God, for images made to look like mortal man, birds, animals, and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over. You with me? In their sinful desires, the desire for other things, it chokes the word. The sinful desire of their hearts to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. Remember what we're talking about? The truth must be made known. On the last day, God says everything hidden is going to be shouted from the rooftops. And we're all going to stand pretty embarrassed. But to those that have the grace of Jesus Christ, you're going to get a lot different reward. Verse 25, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who's forever praised. Amen. You see the parable of the sower come to life? Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Remember what we said about the parables. For those that want to hear, you can hear. But if you want to have the best of both worlds, God, you have freedom of choice. But everything exposes our hearts. You know, people say, hey, God knows my heart. That scares me more than it makes me confident. God knows our sinful hearts. But also when the word's preached, and you see the response from the Word, you can know hearts too. You can know hearts too. God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relationships with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Anyone that says homosexuality is fine before God has to cut this verse out of their Bible. God says it's perversion. So it's heterosexual sex outside of the bonds and commitment of marriage.
Come on.
Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. What are we talking about? You heard the word, but you didn't accept it. You didn't obey it. You don't think it's necessary to retain that word God gave you. Since they didn't, He gave them over to a depraved mind to do things what ought not to be done. They become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. 2009. Tell me we don't. They disobey their parents. Well, I thought for sure moms and dads would say amen there. Amen. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless, although they know God's righteous decree, and those who do such things deserve death. Don't we know that, church? We know God's word, and that those who do them deserve death. They not only continue to do these things, but they approve of those who practice them. Listen, I heard a minister last night say, you better pray to God before you go out to that party. I'm sorry, I think we say, you don't go to that party.
Come on. Come on. Amen. Come on, bro.
Every single situation you're in, you better ask, if Jesus were in my shoes, what would He do? The best of both worlds. We go up in church, have a lot of good time, and then go to that party. Sleep around. Saturday night, sleeping around. Church Sunday morning. That was my life before I decided to become a true disciple. Churches are full of people like I used to be. Because they hear the truth, but we somehow think we don't have to obey it or confess it or get open about it. It's Satan deceiving us. Chapter 2. You therefore have no excuse. You who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge the other, you're condemning yourself. Because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment stands against those who do such things, and it's based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing God's kindness leads you toward repentance? Let me tell you what this did not say. Because here's what the religious world says that just said. See, we can't judge anybody. Don't you judge me? So because we sin too, and don't we? Oh, because I sin, I better not judge anybody else, or man, it'll come back on me, so I'll just let everybody do whatever they want. That's not what it says. Now the truth gets suppressed by all our wickedness. You know what we have to do? We have to hear it. We have to accept it. We have to obey it. And when we mess up, we have to confess it. And then the rest of us, we have to have a lot of grace with each other. And season our conversation with grace and salt. So we always know what to say. We need a lot of mercy with each other, don't we? But that doesn't mean we just don't challenge each other. Verse 5. But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when His righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what he's done. To those, here it is, who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, He will give eternal life. Is that what you're seeking? We got to persist, guys. Persist. Don't run when trouble and persecution come. Persist. Seek glory, honor, immortality. But to those who are what? Self-seeking. Oh, baby. Best of both worlds. If you're not convicted, you're not going to be. To those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there'll be wrath and anger. There'll be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil. First the Jew, then the Gentile. But glory, honor, peace for everyone who does good. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. We've got to let our light shine. When it goes on dim, Let's not pretend we don't see it. You know when someone's on mid to low dim. Now sometimes they can fake you out. They're walking around on mid to low dim. They see you coming. Hey, what's up? And as soon as you walk away, they're... You have friends all around you, you won't get away with that. And you really don't want to get away with that. You got to use it or lose it. We've got to hold up the truth. We got to proclaim the truth. Have a lot of mercy and let your light shine. The growing seed is all about the miraculous power of the gospel. We've been talking a lot today about what we have to do. And we have to do a lot. We have to hear, accept, obey, plant, water, and even harvest. But the seed is what's mighty powerful.
Yeah.
What if the farmer dug up the ground, watered the ground, but didn't have that miraculous seed to put in the ground? Wouldn't mean nothing, would it? That seed that God created is unbelievable. You put a little seed in the ground, and that's the mustard seed too. Right? You put that little seed in the ground, it seems like such a small beginning, kind of like Jesus, who was despised and rejected, and the 12 dudes he chose, who were just unimpressive guys. Just kind of like a little humble little beginning, but it filled the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just like that mustard seed becomes this huge plant. Let me tell you, Roger told me the other day, he shared his faith one morning on the train. 2 weeks later at 7 a.m. his phone rang. One of the people he invited. Roger didn't see that person for 2 weeks, but that seed was sprouting and growing, though we don't know how. God was still working on. God's Word's still working on people that you... But if you don't plant the seed, it won't work. But you plant the seed and it's miraculous. Jay Shelbrack got invited to church. And a year or more later, he picked up that card and called that person back. When he was ready to understand more. It's going to grow. No matter who doesn't respond, it's going to grow. I've seen it.
Amen.
I've seen it on a massive scale. My wife planted a church in New York City, 18 people, and we saw it grow to over 6,000. And I was one of those saved there. I've seen this in just a little over 2 years, almost two and a half, go from a little small group to 100 disciples. And look at the room today. But it's still just insignificant. It's going to grow. It's going to grow. There's a song we sing. It's going to prepare our hearts for communion. And then we're going to sing it when we leave here today. Jesus' teaching was all about planting seeds so that that miraculous seed could grow and we could see where the hearts would respond. So that we could see a kingdom of God grow that would have big branches so that people like the birds who needed shade could come and perch in its shade. That's what we want our church to be.
Amen.
Where all those people out there could come on in and receive grace and mercy and teaching and accountability, and we can please God. The song says, there's a message true and glad for the sinful and the sad. Ring it out. Ring it out. It will give them courage new. It will help them to be true. Ring it out. Ring it out. Ring out the word or land and sea. Still far from Jesus, many live in sin and doubt. Ring out the news that makes men free to all the lost of every nation. Ring it out. Let's pray for the communion. God, we thank you for your word. And I thank you for the teaching of Jesus. I pray for our hearts today. Because I know the Word will achieve what its purpose was. I pray for us to be humble so that you can use us. God, I pray for those who are so sad in sin, even doubting who You are. I pray that we will ring the message out to them, that we will share to everyone we can how Your Son died on a cross and shed His blood and wept and suffered and hurt and died for my sin, for the things that I shamefully am attracted to in the world. God, thank You for Jesus, His life, His teaching, and thank You for using Your mighty power to raise Him from the dead so that we could all believe that we can be raised. Fill our hearts with mercy and grace and truth. And I pray that we will fulfill the destiny of getting the truth out there. We adore You, and I pray that this time of communion is a great time of meditation for all of us, to really sit before Your throne and Your cross. We love You, Father. We pray in Jesus' name.